for the message. Make it a selfish prayer. Lord, make Jack better than he is so that it holds my attention. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today. This is about some of the basic things in terms of our lives, and I ask that you would bless it by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. This is not a flashy message. It's pretty much is basic stuff. We have this New Year time period, which is kind of a place where you can push the reset button if you want to, and a lot of people do, and some people try, and whatever. So this is not a flashy message in terms of that, but it might be something that we all need to hear. This guy moves to the country, and one night there's a storm with a big wind, and in that storm, a large oak tree falls down in his yard. Next day, he goes to a hardware store, and he buys a chainsaw. He takes it home, works all day on that oak tree. Next day, he comes back to the hardware store and told the clerk, there's something wrong with this chainsaw. I worked all day on a tree, and I didn't hardly get anything cut on it. And so the clerk took the saw, and he said, well, let's just take a look and try it out. They walked out to the back of the building in a pile of wood back there, and the clerk pulled the starter cord, fired up the chainsaw, and the city guy said, hey, what's that sound? One time this woodsman was walking through a forest, and he came upon a man who was feverishly trying to cut down a tree. The woodsman asked, what are you doing? And the man stopped and said impatiently, can't you see I'm sawing down this tree? And the woodsman leaned up against the tree and said, well, you look exhausted. How long have you been doing this? He said, over 5 hours right now, and I beat this, and this is hard work. And the woodsman watched him for a few seconds and said, well, why don't you take a break for a few minutes and sharpen the saw? I'm sure it'll go a lot faster if you just take some time here and get a better edge on your saw. The man says emphatically, I don't have time to sharpen the saw. I'm too busy sawing. New Year's resolutions. Today's message is about you and me. It's really basic stuff, simple stuff. I dare say that a number of us are kind of like the city guy. We don't even know how the equipment works. And I expect there are a number of us, though, that are like the man who is sawing the tree in the forest. We're too busy to stop and sharpen the saw. Let me ask you a question and make a point. What's the greatest asset you have? Is it your job? Is it your stuff? Is it your children? Is it your spouse? Is it your money or your investments? Is it your church? What is the greatest asset that you have in this life? Well, in reality, isn't any of the things that I just mentioned. Your greatest asset in this life is you. The greatest gift God has given you is you. Body, soul, and spirit, you are the greatest asset and gift that you have. Your body houses the essence of you. Your spirit or mind gives you the ability to function in this complex world in which we live. And your soul gives you a spiritual perspective on the meaning of life. More importantly, your life and this world. Some of us haven't figured out this basic principle yet. Some of us haven't figured out how to turn on the equipment yet, and so we approach life like the guy who didn't know how to start the chainsaw to really cut it in this life. Some of us are like that guy who isn't cutting it, but he won't take the time to sharpen the saw. He's just too busy. So I want to talk to you about some basic training for 2015. This is not new. It's really simple. Give you a pathway to learn how to use the equipment if you haven't figured out how to start your life so that you can really cut it, or if you're just too busy to sharpen the saw. I want to get your attention to stop and maybe sharpen the saw. Let's read together a biblical example of Jesus slapping a person's wrist because they were too busy to sharpen their saw. It's in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Here we go. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her." Notice that Martha, in verse 40, was distracted with much serving. We have a picture here of a person who won't take time to sharpen the saw. So Jesus hits Martha between the eyes with a 2x4 and essentially says, "Listen, lady, you are so busy you haven't got time to notice God right in front of your eyes. You need to stop and listen and let me talk to you and teach you and show you what life is really all about." That's a lot of our stories, isn't it? We get so busy. And everything else takes priority over our spiritual well-being so that we don't or won't take time to listen to the Lord. Busy, 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 aren't we all? Gosh, boy, we're just so busy. That's who we are. That's how we live our lives. Martha's. We're too busy with our jobs, with our kids, with our lives to sharpen the saw. Or we haven't stopped long enough to read the directions and figure out how to start the saw in the first place. The second scripture shows us a threefold pathway to sharpening that saw. It also has in it the directions for starting the saw in the first place. It's in the same chapter of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. Let's read it together. "And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered right. Do this and you will live.'" Now this scripture and the principles involved, these are the directions. Whether you are learning how to start your life or whether you are sharpening the saw of your life, how do we love God with your strength? That's our body. That's what we do as we move this hunk of flesh around. We love God with our strength, our body. I'm fond of saying 90% of life is just showing up in body. We love God with our mind. That is what we think about Jesus. We learn the principles of life revealed by Jesus and the Bible about how God is. Jesus makes us think. He made Martha think about her serving. Part of the purpose of this message is to make you think about where you are. How's your saw? Is it sharp? Do you even know how to turn it on? The third part of this principle of loving is we love God with our heart and soul. Now that is, we fall in love with God spiritually. We deal with spiritual perspective on life. We deal with spiritual questions. We deal with God's principles in terms of how we live our lives. We deal with our relationship with God. Part of this message has to do with the question, are you worldly or are you godly? Are the priorities in your life worldly or self-oriented, or are they given divine context by your spiritual understanding of the world? The second basic principle in this scripture is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, there's a couple of hidden traps in that commandment. If you don't know how to love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? If you don't respect yourself and all that is you, how are you going to respect your neighbor? If you don't know how to start the equipment or sharpen the saw or take care of the equipment that is yourself, how are you going to show other people how to live this life and cut it? And the answer is, your ability to love God and others and show others about that love is limited by your knowledge of God, your relationship of love with God, and the amount of your life you put on the line for God. Your ability to love your neighbor and see your neighbor as God sees your neighbor is limited to your ability to how you love yourself and how you see yourself. So let's sharpen the saw. Or maybe just learn how to use the equipment. Basic principle number one. The idea of sharpening the saw is preserving and enhancing the greatest asset that you have, which is you. We begin at the physical dimension. We sharpen the saw of the body. We love God with our strength, our body. To sharpen the saw is to take care of our physical body by eating the right foods, getting sufficient rest and relaxation and exercise on a regular basis. That's basic stuff, isn't it? Sounds simple. It is simple. But it's not always easy, is it? Exercise is what I want to focus on for a moment. Exercise is to build your body in three areas. These areas are endurance, flexibility, and strength. Let me say that endurance comes from some form of aerobic exercise, which brings about that cardiovascular efficiency. It helps your heart and your lungs. Endurance, that's what that is. The second area is flexibility. That comes through stretching. Flexibility is important to keep you from pulling muscles, tendons, and ligaments, etc., etc. The third area is strength when it comes to your body. This is done through resistant exercises like push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, weightlifting, those kinds of things. Those are all things we know about. Now listen, because this is important. When it comes to your body, almost all the benefit from exercise, whether we're talking about endurance, flexibility, or strength, exercises comes at the very end. Your body doesn't develop until the muscle fiber actually ruptures and the nerve fiber registers pain. And then your body overcompensates, and within 48 hours, the muscle fiber is stronger. That's your science lesson. The same is true with our mind and our spiritual heart. Let's think about our minds for a minute. In order to develop your mind or keep it sharp, same things are desired: endurance, flexibility, and strength. We call them something different, but they are essentially the same as if we were speaking about our physical bodies. First, endurance. The ability to keep at something mentally. You know, in your job, if you take time off, you begin to lose the ability to do routine things of your job, which you come to you mentally. You know, I put together a message most every week, but if I were to lay off for, say, 6 months, I would lose the mental endurance to produce one of these messages each week without a lot of mental anguish at that point. I would lose endurance. Endurance mentally comes from a continual exercise of my mental faculties. Endurance. Flexibility of the mind comes from exploring new ideas, we get into ruts. And all a rut is a grave with the end kicked out, right? You know, we get into rut. And so including ideas that may not suit us is very important at times. Flexibility of the mind is to take a chance on learning new ideas that really are not like our normal routine of thinking. Flexibility is important because it keeps us from being narrow-minded, or what's even worse, closed-minded. It takes work to stretch your mind, and it can be painful at times. We may discover the fallacy of some of our old ways of thinking. It happens most often as we put ourselves, though, in new situations. Flexibility of the mind. The third is strength in the mind. That is adding new knowledge. Most of our mental strength comes through formal education, you know. But as soon as we leave that discipline of school, many of us begin to atrophy and lose mental strength. We become mental slugs because we don't have the internal self-discipline to keep learning. We don't do any more serious thinking. We don't do any more serious reading or explore new subjects in any depth. We don't think analytically. We don't write critically. And we don't test our ability to express ourselves or distill clear, concise thoughts. In simple terms, we lose mental strength. In order to sharpen the saw that is your mind, you need to exercise it. Develop flexibility in thinking with new ideas and test its strength with new knowledge on a regular basis. Third way that we love God and ourselves is with our heart and soul, or in other words, our spiritual nature, the essence of who we are. Your spiritual nature is also in three areas: endurance, flexibility, and strength. Endurance could be described by words like patience, persistence, perseverance, obedience. Just like the body, the only way to develop yourself spiritually is to be involved in aerobic exercises such as obedience to a call of God. It has to do with maybe being involved in something where you have to be obedient, or you have to be patient with people, or persistence in a task. Or maybe it's perseverance in difficult situations in which you see its spiritual nature. You see, that's the other thing, is you need to see the spiritual nature of the world around you, and so you might have to do perseverance in difficult situations where you see its spiritual nature, spiritual endurance. Do you have the kind of endurance for the long race, or do you burn out easily? The spiritual race is not to the swift, but to those who endure. The only way you develop yourself in terms of spiritual flexibility is to be exposed and receive the principles of the kingdom. Jesus was constantly saying, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And then he would stretch their minds with a new way of looking at the world, a new idea. Flexibility is exposing yourself to God's ways of thinking, God's ways of looking at the world, God's ways of dealing with people. And I tell you the truth, if you really look at God's ways of working in this world, it will not only stretch your mind, it will probably also blow a few circuits as well. In order to develop new flexibility, spiritual flexibility is vision, it's insight, it's discernment. Third part of your spiritual development is also has to do with strength. That is learning knowledge, biblical knowledge, biblical understanding. To do this, you have to commit to learning, and spiritual renewal takes an investment of time. You have to do it. I can't do it for you. You have to do it. Whether we're talking about physically sharpening the saw, or mentally sharpening the saw, or the spiritual sharpening of the saw, it takes commitment. The greatest battles of your life are fought out daily in the silent places of your own soul. The battle over your body, whether we're talking about dieting, exercise, or proper recreation, takes place in the silence of your soul. The battle over your mind, whether you're just going to learn or seek new ideas or new knowledge, happens in the silent places of your own mind. The battle over your spiritual nature, your discipleship, takes place in your heart. Whether you're going to serve and develop endurance or look for God's ways and develop some flexibility in the way you see the world or gain knowledge and develop spiritual strength. How we love God and how we love our neighbors and how we love ourselves takes place right here. Between our ears and in our heart. The call is to develop endurance, flexibility, and strength in body, soul, and mind. Now, I have been talking about all areas of our lives, but I want to focus for a moment on your spiritual life. As we start 2015, let's just talk about your spiritual life because it is the most important aspect of your life. Your spiritual life will bring balance into the rest of your life. I did a series of messages in the fall on Christ-centered living, and the essence of that was you put Jesus at the center of your life, and it brings balance into the rest of your life. The Apostle Paul, in writing to young Timothy in his ministry, talks to him about what is important in life. And in the midst of this counsel with Timothy, he writes a pretty important thing, which is basically the message for today. Read with me 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. Here we go. Train yourself in godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The book of Proverbs is filled with counsel to seek after wisdom and knowledge. Hosea speaks for God. And he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Read with me Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Every time I think about this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what? If you're in a boat and you fall out of that boat into to the sea, if you don't have the knowledge of how to swim, you're dead. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And one of those ways, if you don't know how to swim, you can drown. In other words, people without spiritual understanding and insight die. Their lives decay and fall apart. They don't know about things in this life. They may be alive physically, but they're dying on the inside. Now, listen, if we were all to sit here and really see each other with the eyes of God's in terms of our spiritual nature, what would we see? Well, in many cases, I think we would see emaciated weaklings. If you have trouble in the world with your Christianity, it is because you're like a weakling on the beach. You know, if people attack your Christian faith out there in the public, that means that you're a weakling because you can't deal with the attack that comes your way. You have trouble in the world with your Christianity because you don't really have a deep spiritual understanding of things. And when one of the bullies of the world comes by, they kick sand in your face because you are weak or starving. You can't defend yourself because of your condition. I say this to get your attention. But if a doctor tells you you have a broken leg and doesn't do anything about it, he's not much of a doctor. You can do something about your condition, but you have to choose to do it. You need to commit to it. It will require some endurance, some stretching, some pain to build on yourself. Now, you know, we have programs within the context of the church life for spiritual development. You know, if you just read your bulletin, there's a bunch of Sunday school teach classes that are being taught at 9:15 and that are being a chance to do that, and you can just pick your poison, so to speak, right there. We have a women's retreat taking place in February for you girls. You know, we provide a great banquet for those who want to sharpen their saw, or maybe for just learn how to use the equipment, so to speak, in the first place. I invite you to do that. Those of you who are serving on teams this spring, you, if you've never done that before, you know that that's a sharpening of the saw kind of thing, even as you serve to in leadership to help others in terms of understanding some spiritual nature of their lives. You know, we have a lot of different things. Brian and Corey came up here. Brian just stood here. Corey did all the talking, but he agreed. That is a financial freedom class. What is that teaching you? That is teaching you how to handle your money and what God has given you. I want you to think about what you do on Sunday morning or don't do on Sunday. You know, worship, this right here, is also a place where we develop spiritually. If you forsake it or just occasionally in your participation, your spiritual life is haphazard. It's as simple as that. It is my intention and goal on any given Sunday to feed you spiritually. I don't hit a home run, but I know what my goal is that if you show up, you should get something from this. So if you show up, you should get fed spiritually if you're open to it, but it's like doing anything. If you don't show up, you don't get fed, and 90% of life is just showing up. The truth is, though, your decisions about life, whether we are talking about your body in terms of diet and habits and exercise and eating, or your mental development or your spiritual development, it's always in your hands. I can't do it for you. The person sitting next to you can't do it for you. You have to do it. It's always in your hands. You have to choose and commit yourself to it and then do it. So today, if you're stale and flat, if your enthusiasm has waned, if you're always sick and tired, if your efforts in life seem fruitless, which are you? Are you the guy who doesn't even know how to start the chainsaw because he never read the directions? Or are you the guy exhausted because you don't take time to sharpen the saw because you're just too busy? My job is to call your attention to your condition and give you some spiritual direction. Your job is to decide how you will respond to the direction. Let me close with a prophetic understanding of your life. Someday, in the days or months or years to come, you will be wrestling with the great temptation of your life, or you will be trembling under the great sorrow of your life, or you'll be faced with a great choice in your life. But the real struggle in your life is here, and it's now, and it's today. Today, right now, it is being decided whether in that day of temptation or crisis or choice, you shall miserably fail or gloriously conquer. Character cannot be made except by a steady, long-continued process of daily choices. When I look at the world and I consider what tremendous consequences come from such little things in this life, I've come to the conclusion there are no little things. So with the Apostle Paul, I give you this counsel, beginning right now in 2015, train yourself in the spiritual things. For while physical training is of some value, spiritual development is of value in all things. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would place in us the truth and the desire to be your people. In Jesus' name.